Good or bad?
I like this one.
Okay.
And this one is like, who's afraid of little old me? You should be. And that's how I feel about Taylor Swift whenever she releases an album. I'm very afraid of her. I'm afraid of what she's going to produce. I'm afraid of what she could do to the world. And I should be afraid of her because she's very powerful.
She is.
She has a big mob behind her. And I think that it's always a who knows what you're going to get.
Who knows what you're going to get, I think, is a great way of saying that, Em, because you know how to ball. I know Aristotle. Brand new Full Throttle. Touch me while your bros play Grand Theft Auto. It's true, swear, scout's honor. You knew what you wanted, and boy, you got her.
Boy, we got her. So Taylor Swift is happy. She's in love.
Good for her.
Boy, did we get lyrics about it.
Can I tell you something about love? It's kind of, sort of. It just made me think of something. Al, I told you a little bit about. I played golf with my oldest son yesterday. Who's,
I'm like a three sneeze guy. If I get one in, there's a couple more.
Giving you a little time.
Yeah, rat-a-tat-tat. Yeah.
This is embarrassing. I think Bobby's 23. He might be 24, but I think he's 20. No, he's 23. So he's not. He's roughly your age. Emily, you're 27, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. We played golf with two other guys that we just got randomly paired up with.
But there is a big difference in boys from 23 to 27. Let me just tell you that.
So I agree with you, generally speaking.
What is wrong with us?
We met with these guys, and we didn't know them. We just got randomly paired up with them, as people that play golf know. They send out groups of four. If you don't have four, they're going to fill your group with other people. It's two guys that, if I had to guess, were 26 or 27. Okay? Nice guys.
Okay.
Good guys. Kind of funny. Pretty good golfers.
Good, and this is always a little risky when you're paired with just random people. So this is a good pairing.
Great, really good pairing. Like, these are the guys. If you get these guys, you're good.
You're good.
Right? They were so deeply uninteresting. Mm. They, bro, I'm gonna send this. When I get home, I'm going to hammer. It was just the most bro-y. I didn't hear one person mention a job. I didn't hear one person mention a responsibility.
Okay, what time of day were you golfing?
Four?
I was going to say, they might not have a job if they're golfing at four.
They're Travel's golfing.
Bobby's got a job. Yeah, I've got a job. Okay. We're out there. And again, the whole 9-to-5 thing's kind of out the window. Not one mention of a significant other. Nothing. Like, they talked about video games, gambling, golf, and just nonsense.
God, that's a good life.
3.5 hours. And keep in mind, I liked these guys. They were good guys. I'd play golf with them again over and over again. And I thought of you. I'm like, is this like, do you have to wade through a billion of these guys to find somebody that has something interesting to say?
That's what the dating apps are for. That's what the beginning conversation of the dating apps are for, to figure out where these guys land. That's the one good thing, is that the profiles do kind of tell you if that's the kind of guy that they are. But hasn't this always existed? Hasn't guys always been kind of like that at that age?
I understand.
We're idiots. First off, we're idiots at any age. Probably more idiots in our 20s.
Yeah. But like you said, 27 is different than 23. I agree. I hear Bobby talk about things with his friends that are not that. Oh. That are things that this guy, and I'm not saying you got to have, discuss what's going on between Hamas and Israel. That's not what I'm suggesting that you need to break down on the golf course. But somebody saying something, oh, it worked. This guy was not one thing that made me go.
How was Bobby around those guys?
Great. Like he's like bilingual. He can speak that ridiculous bro language and
Bobby
and
was
sound
looking
like a
up
human
to them.
Being.
Bobby, like, those became his mentors.
He looked at me at one point. Kinda.
Yeah.
He looked at me at one point like,
"What the hell's
going on? What's
going
on over there?" It was just shocking to me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
That's funny.
There's a lot of riffraff. Specifically in certain areas of Los Angeles and Orange County, there is specific riffraff. I know exactly the kind of guys you're talking about. And
the miscut on Brian Harmon. No way. What?
That's why I don't probably tend to date in those certain areas
My
of pools.
Goodness.
So, yeah.
Let's
stick to Silver Lake.
It was crazy. Let's try Redondo Beach and Matt. Matt, you're on with Travis Slee. What's up, Matt?
Hey, good morning, guys. I admire your objectivity, but I just want to try to give you some reasons that the Lakers could pull it off. The average loss point differential last year was 6 points. They only lost by 2 in game 4. D'Lo's hitting threes. Vincent and Dinwiddie on Murray. Darvin seems like he knows how to call timeouts, and we have LeBron James. I still think anything can happen. I might be crazy, but if they do win, you guys got to do something as a penalty if they pull it off.
Okay, a couple things here. A lot has been made about the end of games, and it's funny. You and I were having a conversation during the break, and I want you to describe kind of how you felt, because I don't think it's that much different than if you would have told me this matchup, Lakers were going to play the Nuggets, and this was 2 months ago, I would tell you that, all right, this is just, it's a matter of time, it's over. The Lakers have played really, really good basketball to put themselves where they're sitting here today. They're 19-6 with this starting lineup. Gabe Vincent is back, which I think is helpful. Spencer Dinwiddie is on the team, who they didn't have last year. I don't think it's the exact same team, and I think D'Lo is a different player. You said something that I think was yesterday. We were saying, okay, what is it, a 1-4, 1-5 shot they got against the Denver Nuggets? Which, by the way, it's not like the end of the world. There's a lot worse odds out there.
I think it's 1-5.
1-5, let's say that. But what did you say about something in the back of your mind?
So, two things. Number one, I forget the call. I think it was Matt that just called us a second ago. Did he just say that Darvin Ham knows when to call timeout? Because in the very last game they played, he basically let a 20-point lead evaporate into damn near zero by not calling a timeout. So anyway, we'll just put that aside for a second. Here's why I give them a 1-5 chance. It's not because I like this guy more than that guy, or I think that Jokic is going to have a bad night, or Darvin Ham's not as good of a coach as Michael Malone. Maybe all these things could be true. Here's the thing that makes me not completely say the Lakers don't have a shot. This is why I didn't want them to tank against New Orleans. I don't want to be the guy that doesn't give LeBron James a chance. That's a bad idea to me. That throwing dirt on LeBron James at this point, he's not put him in the grave and start throwing the dirt. He's not there yet. He's not there yet. He can still do things that go, are you seeing what he's doing? He can still do it. Maybe he can't do it as often as he used to be able to do it, but he can still do it. And I'm not going to be the guy that tells anybody that a team that has LeBron James still playing at a very, very high level, that they don't have a chance. He's too special of an athlete to give him no chance. That's why. And I think the Lakers are going to lose the series. I do. But it's not a zero. I 1 out of 5 is not terrible odds for a 2-7 matchup. It's not. They're the defending champs. They've got the best player in the league. They've got the perfect complementary player. They got a good coach. They got home field or home court advantage. They've got a deep, experienced roster. They've got guys like Porter Jr. And Aaron Gordon and KCP and Braun, or Brown, is it Brown, I guess. All of these.
Don't spell it Braun. We're supposed to call it Brown.
Exactly. So all of these things. The Nuggets should win this series, and I believe that they will. But I'm not saying, oh, they're dead. No, they're not.
Yeah, and I don't think it's. I don't think it's disrespectful to point out what we see. And this is why I was making the point earlier of it's very difficult for me to say Lakers are going to beat the Nuggets 4 times out of 7. But what I do think there's a chance of is, can they get one in Denver? That's the only thing I'm paying attention to. The only way I think your opinion can change on the Lakers is based on what you see in these first two games. And in these first two games, you're able to get one in Denver. Then at least you could sit there and say, well, you know what was interesting that I did not notice from a year ago? First off, D'Lo feels like he's very comfortable in the situation. Maybe that's one of the things that's different. Maybe Jamal Murray's not having a historic series like he had against the Lakers last year, which
unreal.
He did. He had 23 points in the fourth quarter of game two. Lakers were up in that. I need to see things like that happen, because even if we said Lakers played the Nuggets last year in the playoffs and that's the last time they faced them, they also faced them in the regular season this year and the script didn't change.
Maybe I've just been watching this stuff for way too long, and I'm looking for things that I want to be true as opposed to things that might actually be true. It feels like the really great ones, right? The Tiger Woodses of the world, so the Jack Nicklaus, for whatever reason, my brain's kind of stuck in a golf mode. But I'll use the Warriors as an example of this. You get one after everybody thinks you're done with everything. Like, you get that one more that goes, hey, you thought I was done here? Here's one more, right? The Warriors championship a couple of years ago, kind of out of nowhere, and they really haven't been anywhere close to it since. They have missed the playoffs. They had the worst rate, all of this other stuff, right? That you just, those great, great players, and LeBron James is certainly that. It's one more. You thought I was finished, and I got one more run at this in me. I don't know if it's coming this year. It may never come because there's a lot of guys. But with LeBron, I just feel like there's one more. Are you kidding me? Running him. I just feel like it's coming.
It's funny. It's interesting you put it that way, because last year I felt like that run was, oh my gosh, are they back in the Western Conference Finals? Where the hell did this come from? Now it's Western Conference Finals. You end up getting swept. But
the teams they played up until that point, they probably should have beat those teams. You know what I mean?
They should have.
Like, they should. Memphis was shorthanded.
If Memphis was healthy, I don't know if they weren't.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, they were the better team than the Grizzlies last year, mm-hmm, under those circumstances. They were the better team than the Warriors. And then they ran into a team that was better than them. They didn't win a single game. Mm-hmm. You know, I know they were close, and we don't need to relitigate all that, but it was like, yeah, you got knocked out about when you should. What I'm talking about is that run, like, they shouldn't have beat that team. And they really shouldn't have beat that team after that. Mm-hmm. And I just feel that LeBron's going to have one of those in him where it's just like, are you really?
Well, if it ain't this year, when is it?
It's probably not. This is where it's set up. AD's playing well. The team, you know what I mean?
Maybe Denver in the first round. That is a good
scenario. That's what I'm saying. You
like
caught
that.
Him at exactly the right time. Maybe somebody somewhere else, you know, something weird happens. It just, greats like that tend to have that moment where I can't believe he did it again. Because the one they got in the bubble was weird because of the world was weird at that point. But LeBron James is still the best player in the league at that point.
And they had, I mean, I think it's sometimes just because of the circumstance, the situation. That team, I think we underrate how good that team was. That team
was
stacked.
Really good. They're big.
They threw at Jokic. That one. They threw Dwight, JaVale McGee, and then AD. Anthony Davis at him.
Yeah, they had three monsters.
Guys that we look at. By the way,
Jokic is better now than he was then.
Look at these 100%. Look at the bench players that were coming off that 2020 team. Or not even bench players, but role players. Kuzma, Alex Caruso, Danny Green, KCP, Rajon Rondo.
Yeah.
They had a really good
Pros.
Team. This is a really good team.
Pros. They had been through it a million times.
And a perfect balance of defensive guys, veterans, youngsters.
This team is not that team. This team would be a, really? You did it with these guys? And it's not that they're not bad players, but it's not what you just described. It's different. LeBron's different, and that's why, in the back of my mind, don't bury him yet. Not yet. Now, they could go out there and lose four games by 15 points, and you should probably find your shovel, but not quite there yet. I'm just not quite there yet. We're going to get to that Clipper topic. We're talking about the Lakers, if they can pull off the upset. What if the Clippers are out early again? Now what? That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. So with Prize Picks, Lee, we've talked about it, right? That you just pick between 2 and 6 players, and you can win up to 25 times your money. You pick more or less on their stat projections. Well, Prize Picks, they're basically giving you a freebie, because right now, Nikola Jokic, more or less than half a point.
What?
If Jokic scores, let's say Jokic scores 1 point.
You win.
You win. That's all you have to do at Prize Picks, right? Pick between 2 and 6 players, and you can get paid.
All right, I know I don't have to tell NBA fans this, but how awesome is this? You got the play-in games coming up tonight, so you could pick some games from that. You could do more or less. Of course, the playoffs start tomorrow. You're going to have 4 games tomorrow. You're going to have 4 games on Sunday. Just pick more or less. Go find the players that you want. Go find a series that you like. Go find individual players. It could be Rui. It could be LeBron. It could be KCP. It could be Michael Porter Jr. Go find their more or less stat projections. Download the app today. Use that code 710 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code 710 on Prize Picks for a deposit match of up to $100. Pick more. Pick less. It's that easy.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think the biggest surprise on the album for me was that Charlie Puth got a shout out from Taylor Swift by name in the second song. She says something like, we are talking about how Charlie Puth needs to get more attention. And the only person I could think of was our fearless leader, Greg Bergman, who is Charlie Puth's number one overall fan.
Loves him.
And I just think about when we did Puth 710.
Can I ask a weird question?
Sure.
Is her name dropping Charlie Puth?
It's weird.
It's weird because he's not famous enough?
No. Or they have beef? She doesn't really do that. Like, usually, if she's going to like call attention to something, it's usually more abstract. She'll like use a pseudonym or whatever. That she clearly says Charlie Puth. It's like, ooh, that's just weird to have something that's so
like, it's usually
concrete.
A little more subtle, like the two Kim Kardashian songs on the album.
She doesn't mention Kim Kardashian, though. She says Cassandra, and then the other one's called Thank You, Amy.
And so. Isn't it like with capital K and then IM?
For Thank You, Amy, yeah. It's capital K, capital I, Sweet. Capital M.
Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to do. I didn't know you had that in your back pocket there.
He just went on Yahoo and saw article titles.
I don't care
USA
where
Today.
He went.
Oh, USA Today. Great.
Still impressive.
Yeah, but the Thank You, Amy, the Kim Kardashian one, she says something on the lines of, like, I write songs and you're going to be thinking one day when your kids are singing it to you, that the only two people who know who this song's about is me and you.
Ooh, burn.
And I do think.
Right, what's that mean where they all go, oh.
Well, because Northwest loves Taylor Swift. She went to the Taylor Swift concert, and Kim Kardashian is like a huge reason for why Taylor Swift went through so much. And I just like that she's constantly trying to get revenge on Kimmy.
Okay.
Sleek, give me a little bit more credit.
Well, you guys were in such like a conversation. I felt you guys were at like a coffee shop breaking down the album. Look, I thought you were Mason's podcast now with her this weekend.
My goal this morning was to know just enough to do what I've done so far.
No,
I'm out. I've taken all.
Not
of
actually
the,
listen to anything. Just know the lyrics and things.
Emily, you should know me. I need to know what I need to know, and then just kind of go from
just
there.
Just enough to twist a knife.
Exactly. It's why we get along the way we do. All right. The Clippers and the Mavs on Sunday. And we've been talking a lot about the Lakers. And if they win, what does it mean for the core? What does it mean for Darvin? What does it mean for LeBron's legacy and all these other things? What if the Clippers, who for, so I'm so glad we did it when we did. The Clippers, for half a second, the Clippers were the team to beat in the Western Conference. They were playing, James Harden comes over, a little bit of a rocky start, and then they just took off. Yeah. They were phenomenal.
I went to a really incredible stretch.
They really, and they briefly, for like half a second, grabbed the number one seed in the Western Conference. And I said to you, kind of jokingly,
so we have to do this now because you don't know what will
happen. We have to do it today because they might not be in the top seed tomorrow. Well, I was trying to be funny, but I was right. Yep. They never went back in. Mm-hmm. They landed where they landed. They drew, if it's not the Nuggets, kind of the trendy pick to win the Western Conference is probably the Dallas Mavericks right now. What if the Clippers lose?
Okay.
Because here's what they're dealing with. They just re-signed Kawhi Leonard to a long-term, high-dollar deal. He missed the last eight games of the regular season. He's a question mark coming into this series because he's got knee trouble. He's got inflammation in his knee. So the biggest criticism of Kawhi Leonard is he's unavailable, and it's true again. Or if he is available, maybe he'll be limited because of injury. They haven't re-signed Paul George. And kind of like awkwardly publicly have not re-signed Paul George. Paul George, terrific player. You would have thought that somebody like that would have been locked up. He's not.
I don't think it's them. It's him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But regardless of which side broke up, he's not. The future there is cloudy. James Harden is going to want an extension, probably will get one, but he just got here. You're opening up a brand new building. And if they lose this series, they're kind of right where they've been since they started this whole thing. I know they had the Western Conference Finals run, but again, Kawhi was down. PG kind of put the team on his back for a few rounds. But it really hasn't happened. And it's not 1 year where you go, ah, bad luck, or even 2 years like, man, I can't believe that bad. This we're well into the Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Ivica Zubac, the Norman Powell. Like we've seen it.
Yep.
And if it doesn't bear fruit again, what the heck do you do?
Well, you get out of the first round and you don't make any noise. I think there's questions about – I'm just assuming here. I think there's questions about, is this the right coach? Okay. I think there's going to be questions
Can I stop you right there real quick?
Yeah.
Like, do you think that the Clipper disconnect is a coaching issue?
I don't think it's Ty Lue, but I think you're being given the resources, and it ultimately comes down to whether you delivered or you didn't.
Fair.
Now, if Kawhi Leonard's not there, obviously that's a story of this entire thing. I don't see a path for the Clippers where next year it's going to get better. I don't see a path. I don't see a path if they say, bring James Harden back and bring Paul George back. Tell me what changed in the Western Conference, who's only going to get better. Tell me what changed Kawhi.
So what do you do? I agree with you. What do you do?
Well, I don't see this. I think part of their problem already started. I don't see the urge of wanting to re-sign Kawhi. Okay, they already did that. But I didn't understand. And a lot of people will probably disagree with me. If you could lock somebody up, you lock them up. That's fine. I understand there are...
He's a tricky one.
There are incentives there and everything else. But tell me why you think Kawhi is going to get healthier.
Why is he
going to get healthier?
He's not.
Okay. James Harden in the offseason.
Or can we stick with Kawhi for a sec? He's not... I'm with you. Kawhi Leonard is a terrific player who is a multiple-time champion, multiple-time MVP in the finals. Like he's great. But... his tenure with the Clippers has been defined by his inability to play a lot of basketball. Mm-hmm. His inability or his legacy with the Clippers to this point has been he's not there in the playoffs. Like he just has not. Even last year, we played a couple of games and he was great and he was just gone, right? That's his legacy as a Clipper. I don't know if he's box office in the way that, hey, look, people are going to line up to come see Kawhi play. A, he doesn't play, even though he played a lot of games this year. Typically, he doesn't play.
His personality is not box office.
It's just not those guys that's electric to go see.
Even the way he plays basketball isn't necessarily like dunking on everybody. He does have great blocks, he has great defense, but people don't go to games to watch defense.
Can we use,
not compelling.
Can we use a player as an example? Blake Griffin, who just retired. Perfect. Blake Griffin, there was a moment where, hey, he's kind of box office.
Like, absolutely.
I want to go watch Blake Griffin play. I want to go see his Chris Paul throwing a lob here, this, that. There were box office moments with that. But let me just stick with just a basketball perspective for a quick second. What makes you think this team that they have, and you know what? There's still people out there that are saying Clippers could be dangerous. A lot less than before. They
a
could
lot
be dangerous.
Less. Yeah.
A lot less. And if they went on some incredible run and all of a sudden they were just kind of saving all this for the playoffs, then God bless them. Then I'll be the first one to admit, wow, I didn't see that one coming. I still don't see it coming.
No.
Why would that change in a year from now?
It wouldn't.
Okay, so is the richest owner
in
all of professional sports, are you just bringing these guys back because you're opening up the arena? And maybe that's a good enough reason. And then after that, they're going to figure out what to do.
I would still argue that the new arena is a reason not to do that.
Because they're going
to
come anyways?
Yes. Yes. There's, like, for instance.
You got all the toilets?
You got toilets. You got the wall.
Like
you got $31 season tickets. Or, you know, like, you've got a draw to come. It's L.A. We like new things. We like
toilets!
Sparkly new things that we're
going
to go see. New toilets everywhere. I want to see it, even if the product is just mediocre, right? Now, after everybody's gotten a chance to see it, I think you're going to have to put something, because once we've all seen it, even if people lining up to go see James Harden play basketball anymore? I don't think so.
I'm not.
You're not. James Harden stands. Call us and let us know that you want Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. Like, people here that are Clipper fans, they're going anyway, right?
Yeah.
So they got the Clipper fan locked up. But the casual Laker fans are going to be Laker fans. Looky-loos are going to be looky-loos. I want to go see the new building. Want to see the wall. Want to see all this stuff. People running through the door to see Paul George? I don't think they are.
I really believe this. I really believe this. I think Steve Ballmer's a good owner.
I do too.
And I think he wants to win.
I do too.
I think that if the goal is to win, I think they've really, really reached a point, you know, crossroad here of if we keep going right, if Ballmer's number one goal is I want to win a championship, if you keep going right, I don't see anything about turning right that's showing you that you're going to get to your overall goal.
So it's not unlike what it was with them several years ago with Lob City, right? You had DeAndre Jordan, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin. They were really good. They were really fun. Everybody's like, hey, this may be their year. And then another year went by. Hey, this may be their year.
Remember, they another blew year three went by. Ones.
That's what I'm saying. But they
twice?
They were kind of in the mix, mm-hmm. and you kept kind of tricking yourself into thinking that it was going to never was
happened.
Different mm-hmm. until you finally said, okay, then you go to the Kawhi Paul George era, and here we are. We're kind of in that same point of, look, we've run this back not once, not twice, not three, not four. We've done this 5-6 years in a row, and we're just kind of nowhere all over again. How many times do you want to do this?
But also every time they have excuses. They have that there's injuries. They have we're never together at the same
time.
Isn't
that part of your reasoning as well to say we can't keep doing the same thing? That if you had an injury, one bad – I'll use Denver as a great example. Jamal Murray was out. There's nothing you could do if Jamal Murray wasn't out. But after, it's kind of like they lose to the Lakers, who had a better team, and Jamal Murray was there. And probably that was the biggest threat to the Lakers in the bubble, even though that was 4 years ago. Eventually, Jamal Murray came back, and bam, they cashed it in, and now they look like the team.
Yep.
That's right. Also never happened with the Clippers.
Right. Well, that's because the Nuggets were patient. Okay.
Yes.
Maybe the Clippers are trying to be patient, saying maybe they have their Jamal Murray situation where when those guys are all together on the same court, they could win a championship.
Fair. But here's what I keep coming back to. The Jamal Murray in this analogy is Kawhi, but he's still hurt. Right? Like, he hasn't gotten healthy. He hasn't gotten to the point where you're like, okay, we finally have all of our cards in the deck. Let's play the hand and see what happens. You still are missing the most important card in the hand. That even if Kawhi plays this weekend, he's missed the last couple weeks of the regular season with a bum knee. The Clippers have not committed to him even starting the series against Dallas because of the knee. And when he goes out there and plays for the first time, I would imagine the knee will flare up again. He's perpetually unavailable.
Questionable tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, I, you're right, but Murray eventually came back and played and was awesome, and they punched their ticket. That hasn't happened with him yet.
You're right. We're more right. I'm just kidding.
Sure.
Am I missing a piece?
No. I just was responding to, what else?
Everything.
That could
get
be true.
Get Woj in the mix.
Factor Caps coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This has been my favorite thing.
What's
all
up, Jorge?
Sitting back there.
Oh man,
how you been, brother?
Pretty good.
I had something all loaded
exhausted.
Up to do.
Playing GTA yesterday.
Man. Oh, were you playing
Grand Theft Auto 6?
Get out of here!
Yeah, you know.
Got
inspired.
It's a good game.
Hand on Brenda's leg.
Yeah. No, her hand. Yeah. Her hand on my leg.
Oh, my hand.
So exciting.
Oh. Anyway, okay, I just lost.
Aloha.
I'm just, today has
Aloha.
Been a day.
Facts.
I'm exhausted. Facts. Taylor's done this to me. I love her.
What time did you go to sleep last night?
Midnight, which is actually earlier than when I went to sleep the day before.
Okay.
So it's not
all
like
right.
I went to sleep super late.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm trying to synthesize my thoughts, and it's really difficult when I keep on just thinking about the lyrics of So High School. And my friend is trying to defend So High School to me.
I'm with her, by the
way. And I just don't understand what she's talking about, but it's okay. So the reason for one of the songs, I can do it with Broken Heart, was because she got she broke up of her 6-year relationship at the beginning of Eras Tour, Taylor Swift. And then during the Eras Tour last summer, she got broken up with from Maddie Healy, who's the singer of the 1975. And so both times got broken up with in the middle of this tour, where she's supposed to be happy, she's supposed to be on top of the world, and she's not. But that got me thinking, There is no good time to break up with somebody. There's never a good time. Travis Fettercap.
I think that's true. Fact. When is the good time to tell someone, hey, oh, by the way, I don't like you anymore? There's no sweet spot for that. It's going to hurt the other person.
Yep.
They're going to feel terrible about it. They're going to think that they've done something wrong, that there's something wrong with it. There's no way to break up with someone gently or kindly. It's just, it's over. That's it. It sucks. You go in no funk, and you know you'll come out, but it still sucks in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Bert?
Yeah, it's fact. It doesn't matter. Time of year doesn't matter because there's always something else. Like, you can't do it around Christmas, but then it's going, oh, okay, you can't do it around New
Valentine's
Year's.
Valentine's Day.
Okay, you can't do it around Valentine's. Yeah. Oh, now it's St. Patrick's Day.
They should
Day.
Have like a I date. Mean, like, there should be like a set date of
the
a breakup
day.
Yeah. And honestly, everybody knows. And
National
it's like,
breakup day.
Yeah, National hey. Breakup day.
Okay, hold
if you're
on.
Break up, this yep. is not a bad idea.
Let's break. When? Like, when is this? Is it like Labor Day? Like, right at the summer's over. We did our beach time together.
After 4th of July.
Still too much summer left.
So I
don't want to ruin her summer or his summer.
Well, no, it's got to be before.
I think it's before summer because then they can do hot girl summer. They can do or hot boy summer.
Okay.
And then they can be like on their revenge tour. Summer. They do their thing. You do your thing.
So Memorial Day?
I think honestly around this time is a little bit after spring break.
No, before
as long as you,
spring break.
No, after.
As long as you don't
have
things.
You have fun together.
Break. He's got a
brain
here.
Break.
As long as you don't have vacations lined up for the summer, like if you already booked something.
That's going to be the reason not to do it. So I tell you, there is no good time to do it because you have something planned later on down the line. Yeah, it's just breakup day is April what?
Tax. You know, it should be when taxes are due.
April 15th.
Before or after 420.
Tax day is not a bad way to tax. Tag like everything else already sucks anyway. We might as well make it worse.
Here's I looked up National Breakup Day. It is the week after a week from Valentine's Day. So February 21st is the National Breakup Day. So anyway.
Okay.
Al, so what do you think? Is there a good time to break up with somebody?
February 26th.
So this is the only reason why I'll say you said there's no good time to break up. Here's why I'll go cap. The only thing that I think plays into this is if it wasn't, you know, if the relationship wasn't healthy, if maybe the relationship, you guys weren't in your, you didn't get to a level where you felt like you spent so much time together. I think there's times where it is okay to do it and it is easy to do it. You just don't want to be too far down the road to do it. That's where it's going to be most difficult.
Jorge?
Oh, Chris Brown said it. It's never a right time to say goodbye.
Yeah. Sing that again?
Yeah.
No.
It's Friday. Friday.
Yeah, no, it's never a right time to say goodbye.
Yeah. All right, so put yourself in the scenario. You are, your best friend has been dating somebody that you don't really get along with. Like, not your favorite person. It's okay. Kind of keep it on your, like, to yourself, because obviously you're not going to, if they love that person, it's not going to be good if you say, hey, I actually really don't like XYZ about them. So you keep your mouth shut about what you don't like about them. But they, your friend's boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever, does something really bad to your friend. And they break up. You hold grudges against your friend's ex. So someone you didn't date at all, but you hold grudges against your friend's ex. Berg, Fettercap.
Yeah, fact. I mean, you're hurting my friend in this situation, and you've hurt my friend for however long that it is, and now that you're an ex, yeah, screw that person.
So if, say, this person's name is Jessica. You see Jessica in the grocery store, you give her a dirty look?
There's Jessica. How she was awful to Jeff. I mean, of course. I'm a good friend.
I think it's fact also because you already didn't like that person. I think that's the way you set it up, right?
Yep.
So what would make it more difficult is if you actually liked the person and you thought that was a good person, then I wouldn't hold a grudge. But if that person you already didn't like, they did your friend wrong, I think then, yeah, I think that's a simple one for me.
Trev?
Fact. If you hurt somebody that I care about, I don't like you.
Yep.
And I'm going to carry that around with me as long as the other person carries it around. They get over it, I can get over it. But if that person doesn't have to be an ex, if that
what
person,
if your friend did something wrong?
What do you mean?
What if
I don't care? He's my friend. I'm sticking up for
yeah,
him.
Yeah. So Tommy cheats on Jessica.
I'm not okay with Tommy then. Tommy's an issue.
Tommy's my guy. He can look. My friends can be idiots. They can do wrong things. It does not make him my friend.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with my guys.
I mean, for me. People still hold grudges against my ex-wife.
Yeah.
She was awful. And they treat her that way still.
All right, Jorge, what do you think?
I typically don't make friends with my friend's significant other because of reasons like that.
Yeah.
You know,
be friendly.
No, of course.
But there's a big difference.
Friendly, mm-hmm. But I'm not hanging out with homie like, hey, yeah. Let's go to the game tomorrow. Yeah. Nah, it doesn't work like that. If my friend goes to the game and he's coming along and I can bring Brenda along, okay, great, let's do that. But I'm not becoming your friend. And if you hurt my friend, you know, go kick. Pound sand, homeboy.
Kick yeah. rocks. Kick
rocks. And open-toed shoes. Okay, so...
I've never heard that. I love that.
That's great.
Have you heard that before?
No, I really, but guess who's going to pretend that they came up with it themselves?
It's yours now.
That's right.
I have a lot of this. I watched, in addition to listening to the Taylor Swift albums yesterday, I also watched the Rams Matthew Stafford documentary. Ooh,
me too.
So twice. You watched it twice. That's a lot of time.
And you spent 2 hours listening to a horrible album.
Hey, but I didn't listen to it twice.
Yes, you did.
I listened to it twice. I listened again this morning. That being said,
told you not to be a fan.
Without saying what, when your friend gets a drastic change, you call him out on it. So again, you have your best buddy, and he comes and he has a brand new hair color. You give him crap about it. So Alan, fact or cap?
Fact.
It doesn't have to be hair color. It could be anything. Yeah, specifically what I was talking about with the Matthew Stafford.
fact, and it's kind of an easy one here. If you're a good friend with that person, they know it's ridiculous too already, and they're waiting for you to say something.
What if they play it off? They're like, oh, go on.
So if I, okay, it could be as stupid as, let me actually make this, I'll make it a little simple. If somebody's wearing like a shirt mm-hmm. that's just ridiculous, mm-hmm. and that's my buddy, it's kind of impossible for me not to say anything. Now, he mm-hmm. could also say, what are you talking about? This is a good shirt. I saw this, and it was in a fashion magazine. I'm like, yeah, you still look ridiculous. It shouldn't be on you. Fact, yeah. I would say something.
Yeah, yes. What if your friend is trying to, I don't know, pull off an earring? Trav?
So I'm just going to make this not hypothetical, and I'm going to make it literal.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay? I had a teammate of mine at UCSB who I was very close with, buddies. I still occasionally touch base with him. But we knew each other really well. And we both graduated from school. We come back for the alumni game the very next year, and he had giant veneers in his mouth.
Oh, no.
Like glow-in-the-dark horse veneers. Okay? So first time any of us had seen him in about a year. It's like...
The
and
horse...
We saw him, and literally, it was like, so how would you like us to talk about what's going on in your mouth? Because we're not going to pretend that it's not happening. Like, how are we supposed to react to those horse veneers? Like, what would you like us to do? Pretend we don't see them? Or should we discuss why you did that to yourself?
Yeah, and you got to get that out of the way right.
And he laughed, and he thought it was funny, and we were able to move on. But you can't, like, if I showed up with a toupee on Monday, are we going to pretend that it's not happening?
I'm going to rip you apart.
Right? Of course you are.
I want to see like how long wear. I can pretend.
Like a sweater or something right. that people don't like.
It means that you guys are like me and are comfortable enough with me to say, but you can't show up with some, like if it's a shirt or in Al's example, and maybe, yeah, it's okay, whatever, but you've drastically altered your appearance permanently with veneers in my friend's case. So it's impossible not to say
that's such a ridiculous thing too. Because it's like a highlighter.
It was we're going to talk about your mouth, right? Like that's not okay what you've done to yourself,
Berg.
Yeah, so it's 100% fact. I mean, I think I know Steve Mason pretty well. I've been working with him for 8 years. We are good friends. I rip him apart for what he's wearing all the time. Like, all the time. He's not a chain guy. He's now a two-chain guy. Like, these are things that are legitimately like happening in his life. And I call him out for it as much as I humanly can. Scott Kaplan came in the other day with this big old goatee. It's noticeable. He doesn't have a goatee, and now he's evil Cappy. You have that as somebody, as friends.
Got him. You definitely got him.
I just picture. I can say things funny.
I picture him going. I just evil Cappy's tremendous.
But like that's when you're friends and they do things differently. You have to be allowed to do that. If I showed up with like bleach tips tomorrow,
we're talking about it.
You're talking about it. It's gonna happen.
True.
Yes.
True.
You made a decision. Jorge?
No, yeah, same with the guys. There was a guy on TV. You know, TV's all stylish, you know, dressing a certain way, brands, whatever. This guy did not have the look that he was trying to pull, trying to do the Mohawk, the Ronaldo. He's trying to dress like Cristiano Ronaldo, just to put it that way.
Yep.
But it just wouldn't. He just didn't have the look for it. And people
not
gave
too many people have.
By the way, that's the love language of men, is hurting each other's feelings.
Like yes.
That's how you do it.
You're
right?
Friends now.
If you do something ridiculous and I don't mention it, it means I don't trust you. I don't like you. I don't care about you.
Care.
Yeah. All of the above.
I was just about to say that. I think that that's much more a true thing for guys. I think that no matter what, it's easier. Even with my guy friends, it's better for me to call out something and like, okay, yeah, so we're wearing this today. We're doing this today. Is one thing. But
you're wearing
with girls,
with a black jacket.
It'd be a little bit more delicate because, again, for girls, your tone is important. If you say something not great, people will hold it against you.
Can I take a guess? It's something like, oh, your earrings are so cute. And then when that person leaves, you turn to your friend and go, why is she wearing those earrings?
I hate those earrings.
Exactly. So there's this TikToker.
Isn't that the plot of Mean Girls?
Well, it's the plot of Girls' Lives. So there's a TikToker named Sabrina, and she was on Abbott Elementary this season, but she does this thing where she's like, oh, great. And then she like is patting her friend like in the midst of this. Like, that's... We have a secret thing. You lie even if you like this person, you lie a little bit and then you talk crap.
And say bless your heart.
Yes.
You don't get to hear me say this very often. I like bless your heart, by the way. Yeah. Stick around.
Oh, wow.
I want to talk a little Yamamoto. He's making his fifth start for the Dodgers tonight. Yep. And by the way, he has a distinction that he's the only one in the Dodgers that I feel this way about. It's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. And you can also hear me talk about my Chevy Silverado High Country, Berg, because I got it at Rotolo Chevrolet. And I love it from Rotolo Chevrolet. And I've bought multiple cars from Rotolo Chevrolet because here's what it is. Price, not going to beat it. Customer service, second to none. This is why they've won Dealer of the Year so many different times. That Mike Capozzo, who you see on TV, and you see him dancing, you see him having a great time, and you see the commercials that make you laugh. But what he does in his business every single day at Rotolo Chevrolet is make sure that his entire team knows that you're the most important person that walks on that lot right there. From Mike Capozzo to Eddie to Armando to Frank to all the guys that I've met at Rotolo Chevrolet, they don't miss a beat. They make sure that you're comfortable, that it's transparent, that it's upfront, that they're courteous, so you just feel good about the entire process. Can you say that about the last time you bought a car or truck? That's why you got to get to Rotolo Chevrolet. Right off the 210 freeway, Sierra Avenue exit. It's right there. You can't miss it. And if you're thinking, you know, Fontana, that's a bit of a haul for me, go online, rotolochevy.com. R-O-T-O-L-O, rotolochevy.com. And whether you go on the lot or whether you're online, make sure that you tell them that Travis sent you.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
A little thumbs up to my buddy G Fish, who sent me a picture of evil Michael Knight from the Knight Rider series, who was called Garth Knight, who had a very dark black goatee. That was the only thing different from Michael Knight. So, well done, G Fish.
That was Cappy. Cappy was evil Cappy. I don't know if he still has it. He might have taken it off.
Incredible. Is this a song we like or no, Em?
I like this one. Okay. It's called But Daddy, I Love Him.
But Daddy, about, I Love Him is the name of the song.
It's about a guy that she dated that her fans didn't like, which is Matty Healy from the 1975.
Everybody knew that.
And how everybody was saying, get away from her. You don't deserve her, whatever. Not me, but general people. And this song basically like, but I love him. I want to date him, whatever. So
the heart wants what it wants, Em.
I like the production of this song.
Is it a sad song? Is that why?
No. It's kind of, she's kind of playing with us with the song. So she says like, oh yeah, I'm going to have his baby. Just kidding. I didn't.
Gotcha.
It's a funnier song.
Also not funny.
That is absolutely not funny.
The prank call from the police and the, oh, I'm pregnant. Psych. Yeah, hilarious.
That was not funny.
Yeah, it's
as a
good
father
one.
Of a daughter,
got me.
This
I would
song
not find
is
that
for
funny.
Her fans. So, yeah. Right.
Well, Maddie Healy, did he land on his feet? Is everybody okay?
Maddie Healy's fine.
Okay, good.
Baby Maddie.
Good. Glad to hear it. Yamamoto tonight against the Mets.
Yes.
Yamamoto had that absolute catastrophe in Korea, right? Just one inning, 40-some-odd pitches. The Padres lit him up. He couldn't get the ball over the plate. Since then, he's been really, really good.
Except for against the Padres.
Here's what he's done since then. In the three starts he's had since then, he's given up three runs. He's pitched 15 innings. He's given up nine hits. He's struck out 19 and walked three. Right. He's been mowing guys down.
Of those numbers you just read, how many of them were against the Padres the second time?
Yeah, some, but just take them all together.
Those three runs were against the Padres. I would imagine that a lot of those nine hits were against the Padres
specifically
as well.
Versus that team.
15 innings, nine hits, 19 Ks, and three walks. That's dominant stuff.
Yes.
It's just dominant stuff.
And I think more than anything else, the questions around Yamamoto, hey, you know what? His spring training was, that was a little weird. First start, everybody watching, obviously
he was
Korea.
Bad.
You can't get out of – you pitch one inning?
He pitched one
inning. Right? Gave up the five runs, something along those lines. That if I had told you that, hey, the dust has settled a little bit, now you still got to wait a couple of months before you feel – those are very encouraging numbers.
Absolutely.
So even against the Padres, like you mentioned, those are incredible numbers. That strikeout ratio to walks, the
19-3. I mean, forget about it. You look at that whip. So you're talking – what has he got? Three plus – he's – 12, it's under one.
Right.
It's super impressive. That I don't think is the most impressive part. Here's the part that I am most pleased about with Yoshi Yamamoto is he's the only guy that takes the ball for them right now that I'm not holding my breath with. Like Glasnow's been lights out.
Except for the one start, yeah.
But every single time he pitches, I'm waiting for after the game, a little forearm tightness. Because that's what it's been all season long. His whole career has been my hip, my forearm. And again, nobody's fault. He's just injury prone. Because here's what they have right now. Kershaw and Buehler, down. Miller and Sheehan, down. Otani, May, Gonsolin, down.
Jeez.
Glasnow, almost perpetually down. Now, not so far, but he's just, until he pitches a full season or damn near a full season, it's really hard not to. Gavin Stone, their other guy in the rotation, is a kid who has not pitched particularly well. So whatever. He's holding down a spot because everyone else is down. Yamamoto's the only guy that's pitching really well that you can at least feel relatively comfortable in his health because everyone else is either currently hurt or frequently hurt.
Yeah, and Paxton is another guy that he just walks too many guys, but
and
he gets
frequently
out of it
hurt.
And frequently hurt. So the one
forgot
thing,
about him.
Really, really, the only thing about Yamamoto that I'm interested in seeing tonight, I think he's going to pitch well. I think he has been, as you're saying, been pitching really well since that first Padres series. I want to see him get out of the first inning clean.
That's been a rough patch for him.
If he can get through the first inning clean,
he settles
and
down.
If he settles he does down, every single time after that. So if he can get through, you know, Alonso, who has been playing his ass off, really good player and hitting the ball out of the park. If he can get past that first three guys and make it to the second inning and just be able to cruise past then, I'll feel really, really good. But it's the first inning was when he starts getting guys on base.
I will say the interesting thing is I don't think any of your concern had anything to do with production from any of these guys.
They're just not
available. And I'm not saying that of course is part of it. If Yamamoto gives up three runs in the first inning tonight, then
he'll calm down after.
But there'll still be a conversation of like, man, it would be really nice to see him get through a full start, whatever it is. But that's not even what you're talking about. What you're talking about is the health.
I'm not worried of him walking off the mound and saying my shoulder hurts, my elbow hurts, and the reaction being, oh, here we go again, because that's going to happen eventually because it happens to everybody, but it's all of them. And see if you can find that quote from Dave Roberts about the player development and all these things. I know you have it in your notes.
So he said this. Yeah. I think that the whole narrative of how we spend overall on payroll gets lost when we're talking about how we can backfill with homegrown players. He goes on to say, shout out to Billy Gasparino and our player development and scouting guys. I think we identify a lot of good talent, a lot of good makeup players, and we develop them.
That's all true. And he's right. And they are able to go spend a fortune on Otani, spend a fortune on Yamamoto, spend a fortune on Glasnow and all of these other players that they've had come through the Dodger system. But he's right about we are able to backfill when guys are down. Well, your backfill Nashville is Miller and Sheehan and all of these other guys and Stone and Grove. Yeah. They're all down. You can only backfill Knack. For so long. Like we're in the first month of the season and Knack's making a start, Hunt's making a start. Like you're backfilling the backfill.
Okay.
Right. And at some point you can't do that anymore.
Is this a big problem with I know it's a Dodger issue. Are there a lot of other teams dealing with this? I'll use a Padres just put Yu Darvish on the 15-day IL.
Neck. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not.
That's actually a good thing.
I was
going to
say, I'm with
elbow.
You. I'm with you. It's not, you know, his elbow. It's not his shoulder or something like that.
It's a neck
happens.
For now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're right. It could be something different. Yeah, but I just asked the question because are we looking, I know this has been a topic of conversation, of the injuries with a lot of pitchers. Are a lot of teams right now dealing with this type of injury depth like the Dodgers
I can't speak
are?
To the amount of other teams relative to the Dodgers just because I'm paying far more attention to the Dodgers. But if we're just going top line guys, stars, aces, all-stars, they're all down.
Josiah Gray was the number one starter for the Nationals. He's down.
Gray is down. Cole is down. Verlander's just about to come back. DeGrom is down. Yeah. Serger is down. Kershaw is down. Sandy Alcantara is down. Bieber is down. Spencer Strider is down.
My God.
They're all down. I mean, it's McClanahan down. They're all
for every
down.
Ace you can find, you find another ace that's not pitching.
Oh, there's way more than aren't. Yeah. Give me the guys that are A number one guys that are like, all right, I'll take in the ball every fifth day. Mm-hmm. Glasnow and.
But isn't that mean that the Dodgers are doing something right by going with these longer rotations and bringing and having different guys and making sure that they only go five innings or on a pitch count?
I don't think
you
have a choice.
You're not going 85 games.
I don't think you have a choice.
That's right. And it's the right thing to do also, especially in
But it's
April.
Not working.
Well, I mean, like Miller went down, but
right.
all these other – as of right now, everybody else that started in the rotation is in the rotation right now.
Isn't that better?
They're all healthy as of now. But they're all here, there, and they're not going deep into games. And I prefer that.
Sure. But they also have better pitchers that aren't pitching than are.
Yeah, Buehler should be back soon. He pitched yesterday. I don't think he pitched very much.
But again, he was supposed to be back at the end of last season, or at least potentially.
Well,
and here we are closing.
About it.
Here we are closing in May, and he's still not pitching. So you're right. Is he close? Sure. But is this everything's hunky dory? They were trying to get him ready for the run last year. It's May. That was 7 months ago.
So Dave, I remember last year, Dave said, yeah, we're going to see how Walker is. But it was more of Walker Buehler like, I want to be back September 1st.
I understand.
More than it was Dave
but
and
that,
Andrew.
If we're like, it's 7 months ago. It wasn't 7 weeks ago.
Pitchers and catchers reported in February,
which,
he'd be ready to
which
go.
Which just tells me that he was being a little overambitious, Walker Buehler was. Because I don't think they ever thought he was going to come back.
Maybe.
If he comes back now and he comes back in by the end of May.
All of them? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's no, I understand. Yeah. But my point is the larger one. It's not the specific one. The larger one is they've got better guys that aren't pitching than are. And the backfill is here. And once they go down, now what do we do?
Yeah, now then you have to start making trades. And then you're moving more prospects. And you're doing a lot of different things. But whatever it's going to be, this is why.
They got nine guys right now. Nine. That would be really good starting pitchers in the major leagues.
One more finger.
They're all that. No, thank you. Nine. That was eight.
Well done.
Thank you.
Okay, now
you
got a finger.
You're really good at counting.
Now I don't know which I read. Did I miscount or did I miss finger? hold on. Buehler, Kershaw, Ohtani, May, Gonsolin, Miller, Sheehan. It's actually seven.
It's seven. So you went one over and said two over.
I can't read my own writing. You know, just because I have bad penmanship,
it's
you shouldn't
eight.
Hold it.
You said nine. It was actually seven.
Look, I was told there wouldn't be any math on this test. I was
That's
told
pretty funny.
There would be no math. We're less than a week away from the NFL draft. The Rams have their first round pick at 19. The Chargers actually have a really good pick at number 5. And they're already dangling it on that fishing pole. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.